But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In my early days of being a Christian, I grew up in a church, and some of you might have grown up in a church like this too, where you were often told how you were so different from other people that were also in church on Sunday morning. And in fact, you weren't just told you were different sometimes. Sometimes you were told, like, why you were saved and they weren't. That somehow you had a secret sauce that those other folks did not have. And I'm guessing I'm not alone in this experience. This was a very common feature of my childhood. And in fact, lots of Sunday school lessons and lots of sermons were about how we had gotten the right amount of the baptistry water right, and other people had gotten it wrong. And somehow, only foreheads were getting into heaven from some churches, and all of your body would get into heaven from ours. Or, as we joke with the Orthodox, because they baptize the babies by holding them by the ankle, you'll know the Orthodox ones in heaven because they're the ones with only one foot. So I spent a lot of time growing up trying to unravel the minutia of these differences. And one of the great joys of what has happened in some ways to American Christianity is we've mostly gotten over a lot of those arguments. In fact, there are a lot of ecumenical ways. I know you're scowling, Leanne. We're getting there too. But I mean, there are just this certain conversation starts to happen where we don't argue necessarily about that minutia anymore. We do argue about things, but we've decided to sit down and have conversations and say, there's a vast amount of stuff that we all agree on. Let's focus on that. And the stuff that we don't agree on, we'll let that slide. And this seems to be, a common strategy for getting together. In fact, in my last parish, we once a year had a service in the park with all of the congregations in Richland County. And at that service, it was formed around this idea that we all agreed on one thing. And so, this was before I got there, they said, well, the one thing we know we can do in the service with everybody who shows up is say the Apostles' Creed. Well, we can say it all together, but if we would have really dug in and to the minutia of the Apostles' Creed, we would have found that actually we had much different ideas about what this did. But it gave us a focal point to say, well, we can agree on this one thing. Maybe that means we can do other stuff, and we can let everybody be distinctive, but not focus on that. And then the other thing that would happen is that another thing in our society that has happened is we have picked things that are not theological necessarily and given them theological import to coalesce around. In fact, the story of the last part of the 20th century has been a story about Christians ignoring doctrine in some cases to coalesce around political and social ideas. And we do often give them a theological reason. The theological reason is often biblical authority, but actually those groups don't agree on biblical authority. They just agree on some social or cultural idea. Now, the problem with this approach, to find the thing that you agree on so you can coalesce, so you can get some momentum and some energy around it, is all of these ways of coming together often mean that you are just forming a new party. You're just forming a new way to be baptized by somebody and not baptized into Christ, as we talked about last week. And the use of the Apostles' Creed in that service did mean that we excluded people who call themselves Christians and show up faithfully to church on Sunday morning. And I'm sure you've all experienced this fact that when Christians coalesce around social and political issues, it means that some Christians go over there and some Christians go over there. And we're back to the same arguments or things I was taught in Sunday school about how some of us are good and some of us don't quite get it. The problem with saying we're just going to focus on the thing that we all have in common is we have forgotten what the thing is that we all have in common. And Paul reminds us of that this morning. Paul reminds us we all just have one thing in common. And that is that we're fools. We are foolish. And that's a difficult message. That's a difficult message for me because I don't want to be foolish. I want to be right. I want to be smart. I want to be reasonable. I don't want to be the thing that defines who I worship with to be the fact that I'm a fool. But Paul says, if you want to find that thing that we all have in common, it's that we all have said that somehow the cross of Jesus Christ brings us salvation. The cross of Jesus Christ, someone dying for a crime they did not commit, somebody not resisting, that thing has some kind of power to change us and to transform the world. Now that doesn't seem like a hard message to us or a foolish message to us because we've had 2,000 years of church history that have spent most of their time trying to explain why the cross of Jesus Christ is reasonable, how it fits into some cosmic system that God had in place, how it is a plan that makes some sort of sense. But Paul wants to remind us that the thing you have in common is the cross of Jesus Christ makes no sense at all. There is not a way to enter the doctrine of the cross from a reasonable manner. He says the Jews, it's a stumbling block to them. And, you know, you might not think about it this way, but I'm going to try to give you some context. The reason it's a stumbling block to them is you are saying that somebody who is ritually unclean, who dies the death of someone who's moral, and therefore by their own death is made unclean, is the thing that's going to make you clean? Think about that. They are essentially, the argument that Paul is making to the Jews is that that immoral thing will make you moral. They can't take that. That's a message that makes no sense. And to the others there, he's saying, you know that person who raised no army, who is convicted for a crime without offering a defense, who is tortured and beaten and killed? That person is the most powerful person in the world. That also makes no sense. And others, really, if you want to get down to it, is that you are saying that the cross is a doctrine where you can kill God. How can you kill God? How can you kill a deity? This is not logically possible if we believe what a deity is. But Paul is saying, no matter however you enter the doctrine of the cross, from what perspective you come in, this is a doctrine that leaves you not being able to claim that you are smart or that you're reasonable. It is one that says you're foolish and that we all get to be fools together. And embracing that is the thing that we have in common, is the one way we can have unity. Because the power of the gospel is not in its reasonableness. The power of the gospel is not in its ability to mobilize people aggressively to force other folks to think like them. The power of the gospel is in saying, I'm a fool for Christ, who have I been baptized into. Because this doctrine doesn't make us enlightened. And it doesn't make us the holders of some secret knowledge. It just says that we believe that there is power in weakness. We believe that is we gain advantage by giving up our own advantage. And we believe that we become the greatest by becoming the least. Now, what I think is so important this day when we think about this doctrine, it has all kinds of ramifications, and it's not one that Paul innovates. In fact, you can hear that doctrine of humility, of the lack of hubris, that doctrine of giving of oneself and servanthood gains you power in all of the readings this morning. The ancient psalm that we had, the late writing from the book of Micah, the words of Jesus himself. Paul is not innovating here. Paul is saying this is the core of our belief. And we could apply it in so many ways, couldn't we, today? We can apply it on a global scale. We can apply it in our own state. And we can apply it even in just the parish right here. Because the secret to reconciliation, the secret to healing divisions, is not about figuring out who was right and who knows the right story and who knows the right way forward. The core, the thing that will reunify us and heal us, is all of us acknowledging that we're fools. But we're fools with everybody else here. And remember, we're fools, and these fools around us are saints, and they're gifted, and they're on the path to blamelessness. And they might have been baptized by somebody a bit different than you, but they weren't baptized into somebody different than you. You are all baptized into Christ. And we all get to be fools together. Amen.